On the last line on Daf Chesamud Aleph, once the Gemara quoted the statement earlier of Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami in the name of Ula regarding the Churban Beis Hamikdash and the Dalet Amos Halacha, the Gemara quotes now another statement of Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami in the name of Ula. Gadol Hanene Migiyo Yoser Miyurei Shamayim. Greater is one who enjoys the benefit of his own Yigia even than a Yirei Shamayim. So someone has Yirei Shamayim, and if we would compare him to someone who works very hard for his Parnasa, we could say that the latter case is someone who has what we call Daito Miyusheves Olaf. It means that since he works hard for his Parnasa, and he has enough money to support himself and his family, he's no longer Torud, he's no longer, in a sense, oppressed and psychologically tense about his Parnasa. Now he can concentrate totally, dedicate himself completely with a clear head to his avoda, to the service of his Creator. And in that sense, he's superior to a person who has Yirei Shamayim, but doesn't occupy himself with making a Parnasa. And at the end, who knows? He's going to be what we call a tzarech lebrios. Yitzarech lebrios means he has to depend upon others for his income, for his financial stability, for his parnasa, and there, as a result, he won't be able to keep up his yira. His yira will not have a kiyum to it. It doesn't have a long-lasting, a lifespan. But when we talk about the Ilu Gabi Yirei Shamayim, and we look into Ilim, David HaMelech says about Yirei Shamayim, Ashrei Ish Yorei Es Hashem. It doesn't say much about the schar of this person who's a Yorei Hashem. The Ilu Gabi Nenemi Gia Kapov, with regard to someone who earns a living and he has financial stability, David HaMelech says in that same Kapitel Tilim, no, I'm sorry, in a little bit later in Kuf Yud Ches, Kuf Chav Ches, he says, Yigia kapecha kisochal, kisochal ashrecha v'tovlach. There is a certain arichus dvarim here in describing this person, ashrecha v'tovlach. The shvach, the praise that David heaps upon a person who's yogea mi kapov, nenemi gia kapov, is ashrecha v'tovlach. Says the Gemara in the name of Ula, ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tovlach li olam haba. In Yerushalayim it says v'tovlach. It says ashrei ish yorei es Hashem, but it doesn't say ashrecha v'tovlach. That last section, it says ashrecha, but it doesn't say v'tovlach, because this indicates the greatness of someone who's nenemi giyakapov, above and beyond the Yirei Hashem. Then the Gemara says, Om Rav Chiya Bar Ami, another statement in the name of Ula Mishmeid Uli Olam Yadur Odom Bimakom Rabo Shekol Zman Sheshimi Ben Gera Kayom Lo Nosa Shlomo Es Basparo. And we've spoken about this concept in the past, that a person needs the guidance, not only the guidance of his Rebbe, but even being in close proximity to his Rebbe, that also is the hashra'ah, he gets the impact of his Rebbe. And we have, in the case of Shlomo HaMelech, that as long as his Rebbe Shimon ben Gera was around, was alive, Shlomo instinctually almost avoided falling in the pitfall which he fell into after the death of Shimon ben Gera when he married Bas Paro. And the pasuk in Tanakh says, "Vayischaten Shlomo es Paro Melech Mitzrayim vayikach es Bas Paro vayvieha el ir David." And that pasuk is the very same pasuk that deals with the death of Shimi ben Gera. Frekta Gemara v'asanya al yadur. There's a pasuk that says that a person should not live too close to his Rebbe, and yet Ula advocates living close to your Rebbe, Lokasha, Hodechayefle, Hodechlochayefle. Of course, Ula advocates and recommends strongly that a person live in close proximity to his Rebbe, but that's only the Kayefle when he accepts upon himself the rulings of his Rebbe, the guidance of his Rebbe. But the Lo Chayefle, the Brice itself is talking about a case of a Talmud who doesn't implement the will of his Rebbe, and such a person, it's better if he stays away from his Rebbe, far away, because if he gets too close and he hears the Tochacha of his Rebbe and he doesn't listen to the Tochacha, instead of being a Shogeg, he becomes amazed. So better if he stays away. I wanted to mention to you that here in this sugya in Brachos, regarding the Yerushalayim and the Yogam Nenami Gikapov, the Tzlach says, Yesh Chosid Shenafsho Tahora V'eino Choshek Klal B'dvar Vera, the Oved who is Boro Me'ava. He describes the case of a Chosid who has a pure soul and he's not tempted by a Vera at all. He serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creator with love. V'yesh Gibar Sha'afshem is Avala Vera Kovesh who is Yitzro Moshel B'nafsho. The Oved es Hashem Rak Miyira. He describes another category of an Oved Hashem who has the willpower and the discipline to overcome all of his taivas, his desires for anything that's prohibited. He's what you call a Gibor HaKovesh es Yitzro. He controls his own self. He's really got self-control. But he doesn't have the level of Ava that we described before, of the Chassid, who has the pure soul, who craves to desire and desires to serve Hashem Ava. In this last case, he's an Oved Hashem Yira. And here's where Ula makes his statement, Gadol Nenami Yigio. What does it mean, Nenami Yigio, says the Tzlach? He's the Chassid who enjoys his service of Hashem. He gets a real kick and a real geschmack out of Asiyas HaMitzvos. He's even greater than the Yorei Hashem, who's Kovesh as Yitro, who's the Gibor, who controls himself and serves Hashem, but he doesn't enjoy it. He's only doing it out of a sense of fear. You know, there's like almost a presence over his head, you know, something that pressures him. He has, you know, he does the mitzvahs, but he's gotta eat them out. You know, he has to squeeze them out. It's not natural to him. It's not something that he craves and enjoys. So the Tzlach, in a sense, reinterprets this whole sugya. We're not talking about comparing a Yerushalayim who has financial support and works hard for his living to one who does not. But rather we're comparing an Oev es Hashem, his Avodah is Mi'ava, to a Yoreh es Hashem whose Avodah is Mi'ira. The Maharsha here on this sugya points out the Gemara in Tainis on Daf Chaf Hei, the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who has very little food to eat, and his wife asks him, please pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us some parnasa. And a yad, a divine hand, comes down from the heavens and brings to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa the leg of a golden table and shows Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa in a dream that as a result of this leg of gold, he will be missing one of the legs on his table in Liyosid Lava, meaning one portion of his merit in the world to come. Because the tzaddikim, kol tzaddikim ochlim al shulchan shel shlosha regolim, v'hu ochel al shulchan shel shnei regolim. So that's what the Gemara means, says the Maharsha here. Godol anena biolam azeh miyigio. Shenemar v'tov lecha. It means, since he works hard and he earns his living, Hashem doesn't have to intervene with miracles to bring him, bestow upon him food and sustenance, and therefore he doesn't lose anything, he doesn't forfeit anything from his portion in the world to come. Whereas a Yirei Shamayim, who doesn't have a source of support, he will basically eat off his merits, his rewards for the world to come. The Yirei Shamayim rotza lehenos mischar maisa b'olam hazeh. He wants the benefit in this world from the reward that's destined for him for his great acts in this world. And that becomes a Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa kind of scenario that's going to lose one of the raglayim of the Shulchan Liyasid Lava. And therefore there's no vitovlach with regard to this individual who is not providing for himself in this world, and he's depending upon special divine gifts and miraculous eating up the merits that he has for Olam Haba. Then the Gemara says, Om Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. We had discussed the significance of Tefillah Bebeis HaKnesses. Om Rav Menachem, Om Rav Ami, Mai Dechsiv, V'ozve Hashem Yichlu, Apostle Yishayo Anovi, Zeh HaMainiach Sefer Torah V'yotze. A person who leaves when the Sefer Torah is open for Kriyas HaTorah, he leaves the synagogue, he goes outside, he's Ozve Hashem Yichlu. Very harsh description of a punishment for someone who has the audacity to leave the shul when the Sefer Torah is open. However, the Gemara points out that there is a time when you're allowed to leave the synagogue, even though the Sefer Torah is open. And the Gemara says, when is that time? Rabbi Avohu Nafik Ben Gavra LeGavra. Rabbi Avohu would leave the Beis HaKnesses when the Baal Kori took a pause between one Aliyah and another Aliyah. And that's when he was able to go out and leave the Beis HaKnesses. And in the past, we pointed out that, and this is based on the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Kuf Mem Vav, that the prohibition of leaving the Beis HaKnesses applies even to someone who's already heard Kriyas HaTorah in a tzibur, even if there are 10 people without him, but once he's in the Beis HaKnesses, he's not allowed to leave, because they started reading the Torah. In other words, it would be bizayin to the Sefer Torah when he leaves. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Asur lotzeis ulaniach Sefer Torah kshupasuach. and the Mishnah Berurah is medayik from the language of Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to leave even before they started reading the Torah. Now, why does this pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi? Why is it the basis for this Isur of Yitziah, the Beis HaKnesses, while the Sefer Torah is there? The Lashon, of course, is Ozvei Hashem. And there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi that says, Al Ozvam Es Torasi. So the Aziva here in Yeshayah is alludes to the Aziva of Yirmiyah, of leaving the Torah, meaning when the Torah itself is opened up. That's the Marsha's comment here on this sugya. Now, we spoke about the fact that Rabbi Avo left the synagogue between Gavra LeGavra, and that heter, say the poskim, is all quoted by the Bir Alocha there that we mentioned earlier. That heter is only for a person who on occasion has to go out and come back in. That's called Bederech Mikra. But someone who continuously, B'tadirus, leaves B'gavra L'gavra, it becomes already a Ke'en Prikas Ol Torah. It looks like he's not at all interested. He's constantly running out. Now I want to mention to you the opinion of the Pri Chadash. And again, we're in Simon Kuf Mem Vav. He allows you to leave the Beis HaKnesses immediately when the Kore finishes his reading. And he doesn't have to wait until the last bracha, the closing bracha, Shenasa Lo Notar Semes, of the Ola LaTorah, which actually takes place a few seconds after the Kriya completes itself. However, this opinion of the Pri Chadash engenders a debate, and other poskim, Mati Yehuda and others, say that the bracha after Kriya Satorah is also part and parcel of the Kriya, has the same status, and you're still enjoined from leaving the Beis HaKnesses. The next piece of the Gemara, Boy Rav Papa Bein Psuka L'Psuka Mahu, discusses the Kriya Satorah as it was back in the days of Ezra, and in some communities even to this day, that there was a Metargim who translated the Psukim of the Kriya into the Amoraic language, the Aramit. And the question is, what happens when the Kore finishes a particular Pasuk? He hasn't begun to read the next Pasuk. Now the Metargim is translating the Pasuk so that people will understand the Pasuk. And the Balkore, of course, finishes the Pasuk and he takes a pause to give the Metargim a chance to read, to translate the Pasuk before he reads the second Pasuk. And the Gemara ends up with a teku here. In other words, the Gemara vacillates about the question of the Isur Yitziah, even though Ben Gavra Gav is mut, but here the Torah Shebal Peh is being taught Ben Psuka L'Psuka, between one Pasuk and the other, and the Gemara has no conclusion teku. So if you take a look in Rabbeinu Yonah here, in this sugya, he says that the suffix of Rav Papa between one pasuk and another, you're allowed to go out, is inapplicable in our time, since we don't have Targum. And the Gemara, Rav Papa thought that maybe Targum is like Ben Gavra L'Gavra. But it would not apply in our time if we don't have Targum. So you could have a suffix where the Targum is part and parcel of the Kriya, or it's a separate halach of Limud, but it doesn't relate to the Kriya of the Sefer Torah. It's not part of the Kiyum Kriya, and therefore you're allowed to go out like Ben Gavra L'Gavra,
but that's because you have the Targum. Then he writes, Shema Kevin Shalom Nigmar Parshal Ha'olah L'Torah Asu Lotzeis. That Rav Papa believes in one side that once the Parsha is being read and it hasn't been completed, then it's one continuous entity and it's also Lotzeis. So that the Targum is not Ben Gavra L'Gavra because it's part of the Kriya itself. That was the Suffolk. Now, how do we pass in the Suffolk? Rabbi Yonah says it's a Suffolk Doraisa L'Chumra. And the later Mefarshim wonder why is the Suffolk Doraisa when we're talking about a Takon of Kriya Satorah of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Ezra, the whole Sugi Bava Kama, Pei Beis. And they explain in one of two ways. Either because it was the Takon of Nevi'im, Moshe and Ezra has the upgraded status of Takonas and Nevi'im, or alternatively because even though the Takona is only Drabbanon, however, the halacha of Bizui Kvod HaTorah, that itself is a Doraisa. The Gemara goes on to tell us that Rav Sheshes Mahadar Ape Vigores, and we've mentioned in the past that Tosus raises a stira here between our sugya in Brachas Ches and the sugya in Sota Lamentes. The Gemara there assumes that once the Sefer Torah has been opened, then a person has to be quiet. He's not allowed to speak, even Divrei Halacha. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Nehemiah to prove this. Vayiftach Ezra HaSefer Lienin Kalam, Kimal Kalam Haya, Kimal Kalam Haya, Ukipascha Ama Amdu Kalam. And Amdu Kalam means Shtika. So how could it possibly be that Rav Sheshes was learning Torah at the time of Kriyas HaTorah? We see from the Gemara in Sota clearly, you've got to be quiet during the time of Kriyas HaTorah. And Tosus offers the answer that the Iser that the Gemara is referring to there in Sota is Kol Ram, when you're speaking out loud. Whereas here, Rav Sheshes was learning quietly to himself. There was no Kol Ram. He didn't disturb anyone else. He was learning Malachash. Why then does the Gemara tell us that Rav Sheshes Mahadar Ape Vigoris, he would turn his face away from the Sefer Torah during Kriyas HaTorah in order to learn? After all, he wasn't making any noise. He wasn't violating the Isur. And it's very logical, very likely that he himself, Rav Sheshes, had already heard Kriyas HaTorah, so he was Yotze. And Tosus answers, Kedei Sheyichaven Girsoso, that by turning his face away, he could focus and be undisturbed by the Kriyas HaTorah. Could focus on his own learning. Now, we've mentioned the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Kuf Mem Vav. Here too, the Mishnah Berurah comments that Rav Sheshes had already heard the Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore he was not obligated to the Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara says, Omar, Rav Sheshes declared, Anan Bididan, thus we got to learn what we have to learn, the Inu Bididhu, and the Tzibur has to learn what it has to learn, and they have to listen to the Kriyas HaTzibur. Tosus writes that the Gemara emphasizes that Rav Sheshes turned his face around, and that's a chiddush that you could have said, perhaps, that Rav Sheshes, by turning his face around, it looks like, to the spectator, zilzul b'sefer Torah. But the answer is no. Since Rav Sheshes was doing it in order to expand his ability to concentrate on his own learning, therefore, it's not considered derech bizoyen. Then Tosus quotes a different explanation of the Rif. The Rif in Masechta Megillah writes that, in the name of the Bahag, that if there are 10 other people, that's when Rav Sheshes, since he was not needed to be mashed in the minyan, there already are 10 people that are listening without him to the Kriyas HaTorah. Therefore, Rav Sheshes is permitted to exclude himself from Kriyas HaTorah. And the Gemara in Sota that speaks about the Isur L'dabra Afilu B'dvar Halacha, that's because there are no 10 people besides this fellow who's learning, who's studying. And we absolutely need him to participate and complete the minyan, so the Kriyas HaTorah could take place. So then, according to the Rif and Megillah, there's no stira between the two sugyas. The sugya in Sota that asks it is a case where he is the 10th man, or one of the 10, shall we say. Whereas the Gemara here in Brachos is talking about a case where there are 10 without him. Then, Tosus says another answer, the name of the Rif, that Rav Sheshes was a special category. Enochinami, for anyone else but him, it would have been prohibited to study during the Kriyas HaTorah. He, Rav Sheshes, was allowed to do so because he was Toroso Umnoso. He was totally dedicated to the study of his Torah without any interruption whatsoever. And Tosus likes this last answer, and in fact the Pri Chadash paskins like this answer, that if there's Toroso Umnoso, that category, then and only then is a heter to exclude yourself by learning during Kriyas HaTorah. And it would seem that the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Milchus Tefillah likewise paskins that you're only someone who's Toroso Umnoso. He has the heter, the license and the leniency of allowing himself this luxury of studying Torah during Kriyas HaTorah. Now, if you accept the Rif that there were 10 other people, or, as we said, Rav Sheshes was a special category, he was Torosim Naso, then we understand that Rav Sheshes was Machzer Ponov, not because he wanted to focus on his learning, but he had to do so. And the reason for that is because Ein Royalis Asik B'Dvar Locha B'Fnei Achirim Sha'oskim B'Kriyas HaTorah. And the Tzlach writes that for the sake of learning, the only heter that Rav Sheshes has is to learn while the Sefer Torah is open, but there's no heter for him to leave the Beis HaKnesses. Now we're on the last line on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, going on to Daf Ches Amud Beis. Omer Rabbi Huna Bar Yehuda, we've touched on the laws of Kriyas HaTorah and how important it is to listen to the Kriyas HaTorah. And until this moment, we're focused on the Kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. We haven't yet emphasized the Yachid. What is the nature, the scope of the obligation of the individual? So, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Ami, Li'olam meaning, even though he heard the Kriyas HaTorah, the parsha being read, Bitzibur, nevertheless, Yashlim Adam Parshiosov, he has a private individual obligation of reading the parsha, and this is on a regular basis. Kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. That's how Rashi says it, Yashlim Parshiosov shall kol Shabbos v'Shabbos im HaTzibur, together with the Tzibur. And it's not enough that he reads the parasha together with the tzibur, but it's got to be Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum. This is the famous halacha of Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum, that he has to read the parasha twice, and he has to read the Targum once. Now, I just wanted to mention to you here that the word Parshiosav here seems to relate to the Shabbos, according to Rashi. Parshiosav means the Parshios of the Shabbos. Even though, again, the word Shabbos is usually Nekeva, but nevertheless here it's used in Zohar, Parshiosav, the Parshios of the Shabbos. Now, there's a statement here of the Shalah. The Shalah HaKadosh writes regarding the statement of Rav Ami that Rav Ami should have said Parshios. Why the emphasis on Parshiosav? And the Shalah offers the following reinterpretation of Rav Ami. And he says that the word Parshiosav is not referring, as Rashi would say, to the Parsha of that week, but rather to the Parshios Psuchos Ustumos. In other words, when he should read Shnayim Mikra, he should organize it in a way that he's reading Parshios. He's reading Psuchos and Stumos. He writes, Bizman Mipnei Shazman Shebo Maschilim Likro Shnayim Mikra Vechetagum Eino Shoveh Bechol Adam. Not everyone can synchronize his reading of Shnayim Mikra Echad and Targum with everyone else. And the reason for that is that from Sunday through the week, you're allowed to, to fill in and fulfill the Shnayim Mikra Echad and Targum at any pace that you so choose. Some might begin on Sunday, somebody else might begin on Friday. And in that case, there are people who will have to be mashlim their parshios after Shabbos. And it could be that they may have to be mashlim many parshios. It sort of accumulates over the time. So Rav Ami emphasizes parshiosav imatzibur. What that means is that whatever sections of the Torah he hasn't read before the week's end, he's got to make sure to be mashlim so that by the week's end, he is shava b'shava, he's up to par with the rest of the tzibur. That's the Lashon Yashlim Adam Parshiosav imatzibur. So therefore, Ad Shas Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, everybody should have finished their Parshios from that reading of that week. In other words, if a person starts on Friday, he's going to have to really cram it in, so to speak. He doesn't have that much time to finish his Parshios, whatever Parshios in plural he has to finish up. Each Parsha means, the subdivision and the smaller unit of what we call Parshas HaShavua. But in any event, he's got to cram it in and finish it by the time that Tzibur reads Kriyas HaTorah of that Parsha. So the difference between Rashi and the Shalah is how to interpret the word Parshiosav is referring to the entire Parsha. Let's say this week we're going to read Parshas Tazria, so the entire Parsha of Tazria. Or is it referring to subunits of Parshas Tazria? But whether it's Rashi or the Shalah, the concept of Imat Tzibur means the same. That he doesn't begin before the Tzibur could have begun that Parsha. He doesn't end beyond after the Kriyas HaTzibur of that Parsha in the Beis HaKnesses. He's not Makdim, he's not Ma'acher. But Imat Tzibur. Whether it's the entire parasha of Matzibur, the way Rashi interprets the words, or smaller sections of the parasha, the way the Shalah interprets it, but it's got to be with the Tzibur. Now, there are a number of questions that we have to ask on this Gemara. Not the least of which, what is the source for Rabbi Ami? He doesn't quote any pasuk, or not even an asmachta. And secondly, how important is this? I mean, it says liolam. That sounds like he's giving it a little extra teeth. Don't miss this obligation. But yet he doesn't spell it out. He doesn't have a source for it. He doesn't spell out the nature of the obligation. And not only that, is there a relationship between this obligation and Shabbos itself? Meaning, Shabbos engenders a chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And therefore, the laws of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur belong to Shabbos, to some extent. But here he's reading it as a yachid. Again, he has to finish before the Tzibur completes the parsha. But is the chiyuv here a chiyuv of Shabbos? Is it part and parcel of Kriyas HaTorah? Just the Kriyas HaTorah is on the Tzibur, and Yashlam on the Parsh Yosef, Shnai Mikra Ketam is on the Yachid? Or are we dealing with an entirely different kind of a chiyuv? A chiyuv of Talmud Torah that is formulated and encircles the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. We know that a person within the context of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah has to find a daily dosage, a certain, shall we say, a discipline of Talmud Torah. And Chazal established that one of the various dimensions and obligations within the context of Talmud Torah is to read the Torah on a weekly basis so that he completes the reading of the Sefer Torah within the course of a year. And moreover, he should read the Sefer Torah in his house on a weekly basis and enhance his reading with Torah Shebaal Peh, which is Targum. But that would mean that essentially the mitzvah here that we're talking about is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. However, although that approach is definitely valid, and it's certainly a significant possibility here, there's an alternative approach, which, by the way, is attributed to Rabbeinu Chananel, and we'll see this Bli Neder at a different occasion, but Rabbeinu Chananel says that the mitzvah of Shnayim Mikrech and Targum is not an extension or a detail within the constellation of mitzvahs Talmud Torah, but rather it's a separate takonas chachamim, which obligates the individual to read the parsha with the tzibur. In other words, it's a chiyuv that's engendered by the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, and in sense that chiyuv on the tzibur has a tributary. It's like a tree with a branch. It branches off to each individual and obligates each individual to be Korei the Torah, just like the one single Kriyas HaTorah on behalf of the tzibur in a particular synagogue. In other words, the approach of the Trumas HaDeshen is very different than that of Talmud Torah, in that it's so connected and engendered by the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. For example, let's say on Yontif. Yontif has a different Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, and it's not related to the Seder HaParshios. You know, if we take the first approach, and by the way, you'll find the first approach in the Chinuch, in the Sefer HaChinuch. If we take that approach, that the halach here in Talmud Torah is to finish the Torah and all its parshios from Bereshis till the Ein Kol Yisrael on an annual basis, there's no need to read the parsha before Yontif that's going to be read publicly on Yontif, because that would just be a repeat of what he's already done. However, if you take the understanding of the Trumas HaDeshen, that this is a chiyuv that takes the tzibur's kriya
and generates a chovas yachin on that very same kriya, and it's almost in a sense of preparation for the kriyas hatzibur, then on yontif he should be reading shnayim mikra v'echad targum of that kriya of the yontif. So if you take, for example, in Chutz Laretz, just 2 days ago, it was Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, the last day, Shmini Shel Chag Shel Pesach, they didn't read Parsha Shmini like we read it here in Eretz Yisrael. So last week, here in Eretz Yisrael, the Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum would be Shmini, that culminated with the Kriya of 2 days ago in the Beis HaKnesses of Parsha Shmini. In Chutz Laretz, according to Trumas HaDeshen, it would not be sensible to be reading Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum last week in Shmini, because there was no Kriya of Shmini on Shmini, but rather they should be reading the Parsha of the Kriya of Yontif. And that's what they should be reading Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum during that week. Now, why Shnayim Mikra and Echad Targum? That was our original question. So here we have a unique approach that dates back to the Rishon of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and it's brought down in the Tshuvas of the Ravan, and that is that with regard to Kriyas HaTorah, we have three individuals who are active. Each one plays his own role. We have the Ola LaTorah, we have the Korei BaTorah, who you might call the Shliach Tzibur, and we have the Metargim Es HaTorah, again back in the day when they did Tirgum. And even if today we don't have a Metargim, but the concept of a Metargim is inherent in Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. So connected these three, we have Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, as if to say that the Ola has his Kriya, the Korei, who's reading as a Shliach Tzibur and raises his voice loud enough so the Tzibur can hear the Kriya, he has his Kriya. And then we have, finally, the Metargim, who adds the element of Torah Shebaal Peh to explain the Psukim in Torah Shebaal Peh and guarantee that the people in the audience understand them by translating them into the local vernacular. And that's the Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum of the Yachid, which parallels, corresponds to the Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And once again, we see an indication, as we saw earlier in the name of the Trumas HaDeshen, that the Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum is very, very closely related to the Takana of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And in order to clinch that connection, we find the mirror image of the Shnayim Mikra, the Echad Targum of both the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur and the Yachid, who is also implementing a Shnayim Mikra, the Echad Targum. However, later poskim offer a different explanation. According to Chazal, and this is based on the pasuk in Dvarim Chav Zayin, because Saftal Avonim is called the Torah Zos Be'er Heitev. What does that mean, Be'er Heitev? It means the Torah was given three times. The first time, of course, at Har Sinai. The second time was given in Ol Moed, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Libena Kruvim. And finally, the third time was given Be'er Heitev. And the Mata Moshe, who quotes this explanation, goes even a step further. He says that every pasuk should be read twice, and only afterwards should the Targum be read. We should follow the sequence of this pasuk of Be'er Heitev at the end. The Be'er, which is the explanation of the Torah, the Targum, should be at the very end. It should be last in this three-part process. Now, Tosis, if you take a look here, Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum quotes the Yesh Mefarshim, and the question here is, can the Torah be translated into a different vernacular, French for the French and Spanish for the Spanish, Italian for the Italians, or must it be read in Targum? And basically, Tosis offers a kind of middle position on this question. First, he says that someone who speaks Laz could fulfill his obligation by reading it in Laz, in that language. Yesh mefarshim tohu adin lo azis belaz shalahem havi kimo targum. Tosis goes on to Chesam in Beis. Why? Because the whole purpose of Targum is to explain to those who don't understand the original Hebrew in their vernacular, their language, the same thing should apply to any other language, to make sure that the people understand it, let them read it in their spoken tongue. And that makes absolutely sense. But then Tosa rejects the Yesh Mefarshim. And he says that Targum Unkelus is not just a Pirush. It's not simply a translation of every word, but rather it's part of the Mesoras HaTorah, and we derive things from Targum that we wouldn't derive from the simple Pshat and the literal translation of the Torah. And he quotes the Gemara Megillah at the beginning, Rav Yosef says that below Targum, he doesn't understand, for example, the Pasuk in Zechariah Novi, and therefore the mitzvah itself singles out Targum to a special level. And this again, Rabosai, emphasized what we said before, that Targum introduces an element of Torah Shebaal Peh into the Shnayim Mikra of Torah Shebichsav. And perhaps the Pasuk Ber Heitev is indicative of that. So we're not just simply talking about translation. And this opinion of Tosus is also echoed by the Rosh, by the Tur, in Simon Reish Pei Hei as well. And I would suggest that the way we might read this Tosfos is with a kind of lechatchila and a b'dieved. Meaning, the ideal way is to do it Shnayim Mikra v'Echad Targum. But I'm not sure that Tosfos would reject, b'dieved at least, the possibility. In other words, when the Yesh Mefarshim are advocating that for the sake of the Lazos, we should read it lechatchila b'laz, and Targum is lav dafka here. There's no special status whatsoever to Targum. However, Tosa says, no, there is a special status to Targum, and the Iker Kiyum is through Targum, because we derive things from Targum that we wouldn't get from the Psukim, but I don't know that Tosa rejects b'dieved as a fallback position that can be yotzei in other languages. Now, how exactly should we implement the kriya of Shnayim Mikra v'Echad Targum? If you take a look in the Magen Avraham, he quotes two opinions. One opinion is that we should break it down into psukim. Every pasuk should be read twice and then Targum. Others are of the opinion that we should read, and we indicated this in the Shalom a little bit earlier, each parsha, as a unit, without breaking it down. Again, Psucha, Stuma, and then the Targum. So you get the whole flow, the whole picture. The Mishnah Berurah quotes an opinion that Targum should not be read before Mikra. First, you should read the Shnayim Mikra, and then the Targum. And this reflects what we saw earlier, that the Shnayim Mikra v'Echad Targum corresponds to the way the Torah itself was given, and in that particular sequence. B'dieved, however, you are Yotzei even if you read Targum in the middle. It's not clear that you could be Yotzei if you read Targum first, but that would be kind of an unusual scenario in any event. So a lot of these issues here touch on the nature of Shnayim Mikra v'Echad Targum. If we assume that Shnayim Mikra v'Echad Targum is fundamentally Limud Torah, then Limud Torah has a unit of Psukim.
Every pasuk should be studied as a pasuk. It's a theme, and it's a logical unit. So there's no reason why we should object to breaking down the Shnayim Mikra Mechatagim into smaller pieces, smaller units. If, on the other hand, we're trying to imitate the Kriyas HaTzibur, then perhaps we need larger units. The Gemara says, V'afilu Atoros V'divon. The pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Beis has a long list of locations, and these words really don't have a targum. So what do you do in this case? Where's the echad targum? So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Afilu atoros v'divon she'ein bo targum. The Tosus points out, if the Gemara is looking for words in the Torah that don't have a targum, the Gemara didn't have to stretch its arm out to Atoros V'Divon, which are names of places, because in fact, what about names? If you read Parshas Vayigash or Parshas Shmos, many other Parshios, the names of the Shvatim, for example, Ruvein V'Shimon. Do we find any targum on Ruvein V'Shimon? The targum is going to say Ruvein V'Shimon. So Makasha says, Tosus, I don't understand, why did the Gemara mention, single out Atoros V'Divon? What's the special chiddush here of Atoros V'Divon? Just simply that it has no targum? Hayelo loma ruve v'shimit, o psuk achrini, sheimo targum klal. Tosus says, not like Rashi, that Atoros V'Divon is not a reference to words that have no targum, but rather that Targum Unkelus did not offer us a targum, but Targum Yerushalmi does offer a targum. So if you look in the Yerushalmi, which is the same as our, which corresponds to our, in most cases at least, to our Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, you'll see that it says there, Mechlolosa Umalbashta. Those are the names in Aramaic of Atoros V'Divon, meaning the Aramit language actually has other names. In Lashon Kodesh we call it Atoros V'Divon, but there are other names. So therefore, Afilu Divon Vata. Okay, here's a question. Our text says Atoros V'Divon, but there is a pasuk a little bit later on that says Divon Vataros, which is the order around. As our pasuk is in Bamidbar Lamed Beis, pasuk Gimel, but if you fast forward in the same perek Lamed Beis to pasuk Lamed Dalid, there it says Divon Ves Ataros in the other sequence, and it's dafka in the last pasuk that Unkelus drops the ball on Targum, and there is no Targum. In the first pasuk that's quoted here in Agamar, there is a Targum Unkelus. The later Achronim say that it's a mistake, really, in our printing of the Targum, that neither in pasuk Gimel nor in pasuk Lamed Dalet does Unkelus offer a Targum for Divon Vataros. I, in our printed, so they say that our printed Chumashim stooped in these words, Mechalasa and Malbashta, because they wanted to be mashva, the two Targumim, the Targum Yerushalmi with the Targum of Unkelus. In any event, let's just review. According to Rashi's pshat in this sugya, it comes out that the Gemara is just giving one example of what could be many, many examples where the Targum doesn't translate into another language. Tosus doesn't understand. I mean, why quote this Atoros V'Divon, which is unique in the sense that although there's no Targum in Unkelus, there is a Targum in Yerushalmi. There are many other Pesukim the Gemara could have used to demonstrate. And therefore, Tosus says that the Chiddush here is that even though Atoros V'Divon has no Targum in Uncleus, and therefore you might have advocated reading Atarus V'Divon three times in Lashon Kodesh. The answer is it does have a Targum in Yerushalmi, and you'd have to read the Targum of the Yerushalmi. And Shnayim Mikravech and Targum applies even in the case of Atarus V'Divon. Again, Tosfos is going to have to admit that in the case of Reuven V'Shimon, is he going to read Reuven V'Shimon three times in Lashon Kodesh? But the Chiddush in the Gemara is that you can still achieve Shnayim Mikravi Echad Targum in the case where Uncleus does not translate the words, there's no Targum Uncleus, but there is another Targum, an alternative Targum, Targum Yerushalmi. And that's what you should be reading. Now, if we swing back to Rashi and try to defend Rashi against the onslaught of Tosfos, why the Gemara didn't mention Reuven V'Shimon, for example, the Taz in Or HaChaim, Siman Resh Pei Hei, Sifkat Nalv, comes to the defense of Rashi, and he writes that the Gemara mentions Atarus V'Divon in order to be Mechadesh, that even this Pasuk, which mentions cities that belong to the Zion Amamin, to the Amorites, and therefore these names have no sanctity, you might think that just because the Goyim call them Ataros V'Divon, therefore we should have to read it. Why? And the answer is, he says, no, the Chiddush is, he still has to read it. In this case, he'll read it three times in Lashon Kodesh. Why? Because it's part of the Torah. In the case of Reuven V'Shimon, these are names that were given to the Shvatim by the Imos. They have a special Kedusha in the name itself. Clearly, the third time around reading it, the Lashon Kodesh is meaningful. But to add the Lashon Kodesh here of Ataris V'Divon, which is really not Lashon Kodesh in its original form, that would not make sense. And the Chiddush is, no, it's part of the Torah. And it has to be written. And certainly we would understand that Reuven V'Shimon with a Kal V'Chomer should be read. So that's an interesting approach in the Achronim in order to defend Rashi against the Kash of Tosis and why the mention of Ataris V'Divon. The Gemara goes on to say the Kol Mashlim Parshiosav Imatzibur Marichin Lo Yomav Ushnosav. The Gemara heaps upon a person great reward for being Mashlim his Parshios Echad Shnayim Mikrav Echad Targum is Marichin Lo not only Shnosav but Yomav, and Arichas Yomim means that he's going to have Yomim B'Tova. No, it's not just that he'll live to a long life. That would be Arich HaShonim, but Arich HaShonim adds another dimension, that his days are full and wonderful. And the opposite would be what we call Kitzur Yomim. Kitzur Yomim means when his days are full of evil. In any way, the Gemara emphasizes Kol HaMashlim Parshiosim Matzibur, Marichin Lo Yomim Ushnosav. What's the extra emphasis here on the word Kol? Meaning the Avtocha of Arichas Yomim, it sounds like, is being given as almost an explanation for this halach of Shnayim Mikrav Echad Targum. The reason why he has to be Mashim Parshiosim et Tzibur is in order to achieve Arichas Yomim Vishnosov. And obviously that's going to engender the famous kash that we've asked many times, because the Mishnah at the beginning of Avos says, Al Tiyu Ka'avadim HaMisham Shemis Arav Al Manas L'Kal V'Pras. The person shouldn't serve him, his maker, in order to receive a gift, in order to achieve rewards. And the Mefarshim quote the Gemara in Kiddushin in order to answer this question. The Gemara says that a person on a daily basis should split up his Talmud Torah into three sections, three disciplines. Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mikra, and Shlish B'Talmud. So if a person has already studied Mikra, and now we're saying that in addition to studying Mikra, he on a daily basis is involved in Shnayim Mikra, and And it turns out that in addition to all the Mishnah and Talmud that he's learning, he's adding to that the extra time consuming implementation of Shnai Mikra. You know, we have to sort of give him a nechama, a consolation. And the consolation is that even though we're, you know, throwing upon him so much, he shouldn't think that as a result of the extra burden of Shnai Mikra Vechet Targum, he's not going to be able to finish his discipline, his daily dosage of Torah, of Talmud. The answer is, Yarich lo yom v'shnosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guarantee that he'll have more time to do this, his life will be expanded, and he'll be able to fulfill and implement this mitzvah of Shnai Mikra Vechet Targum without any loss to the rest of his learning and his schedule of Lahashlim, Limudo, Shlish Mikra, Shlish Mishnah, Shlish Talmud. He'll have plenty of time. So there's no worries here. This reminds me very much of the Gemara about Abaye, that Abaye dedicated his time not only to Talmud Torah, but also to Chesed. And the question is he losing from a very short lifespan? Because Rava and Abai both came from Beis Eli. Rava died at the age of 40. So the Gemara says that Abai lived till the age of 60. He had a special bracha. And as they gave him the next 20 years to make up for half of his life that was dedicated to Chesed and make sure that he would not lose anything on his Talmud Torah. So he ended up with the same 40 years of Talmud Torah that Rava had. In any event, the Gemara is trying to emphasize how great this mitzvah is by telling us that the schar for this mitzvah is Ma'arich lo yomav ushnosav. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here, even though we're in the middle of a sugya. We'll continue with Hashem later on.